A lot of times we just shut down. I know sometimes, even in marriage, when we have a conflict, we shut down. And Paul said, we've been crucified with Christ. That's brokenness. But we're like the snake, right? What does that snake want to do? That snake wants to we want to rise up and we want to strike out. And sometimes God just says, chill out. I got this. I got it. If you will do it my way and you will work according to the scripture and you will work according to what I have laid out in your word, I got this.
Kurt in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of How to Receive Criticism. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How to Receive Criticism.
It's my turn, and that is keep score. All right, you won this one, but I'm going to win the next one. All right. You won two, now I got to win two. He said, she said, and that is to blame the other person. So these are inappropriate ways to handle conflict. Inappropriate. All right. So if you have been in a conflict or if you are in a conflict and you're handling it like this, this is inappropriate. Now, before I go and talk about how we handle conflict, let me tell you some of the benefits of conflict. Because, see, again, conflict is inevitable. Conflict is going to come in our lives. And so we need to realize that we got to deal with it, and there are benefits from conflict. Benefits? What benefits, you ask? Well, I'm getting ready to tell you. First of all, there's growth, that you grow from conflict. And you know, I don't know why it is that people go through conflict and they come out on the other side of the conflict a spiritual shrimp. If you go through conflict, on the other side of that conflict, you should come out a little bit buffed. You should come out with some spiritual muscles, flexing. But a lot of people go through conflict and they come out, you know, just dragging their feet and with their heads down. Man, when you come through conflict, you ought to come out with your foot on the mountain, your chest out, and your cape flying in the air. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into conflict. He says various trials, but conflict. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Two words that we see here. The word perfect and the word make entire. What does that word perfect mean? You know what it means? Mature. That conflicts should cause you to become mature. And he also says to make us entire, and that is fully developed in every area. So when we go through times of conflict, that we should come out on the other side of the conflict mature and fully developed. We shouldn't come out after 18 years of life still lying in the crib, whining and calling for a bottle of milk. But after 18 years, you come out independent, strong, able to eat a steak and some vegetables. But why is it that Christians go through conflict and they come out like the little baby in the crib, whining and complaining and asking for their bottle, instead of coming out mature and strong and developed in every part? Second thing is that Another benefit of conflict is change. Conflict lets us know that something needs to change. Now, I'm not a proponent of going in looking for things to change. But if there's a conflict, then that lets us know that something needs to change. And we need to, I'm going to talk about it here in a second. At that point, we need to sit down and talk about what needs to change. In Acts chapter 6, there was a problem between the Grecian Hebrews and the Greeks and the Hebrews and the widows. And there was a problem because one was getting fed and the other one wasn't. Well, that was a cause of conflict. So what? Something needed to change. And what came out as a result of that? What did they do? That's what they called deacons. In Acts chapter 6, because there was these problems that were going on between these two groups, they said, well, let us call deacons so that we can devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And let the deacons take care of this problem and make sure that everybody has sufficient needs. But what did that arise out of? That arose out of a problem. It arose out of a conflict. What are some tools that God has given us for overcoming conflict? What are some tools that God has given us for overcoming conflict? Well, two. Brokenness. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what I think the answer to 99% of all problems is? Marriage, church, work, whatever. Brokenness. Brokenness. Because what happens? People want their way. They feel that their way is the right way and that any other way needs to hit the highway. And so sometimes when we come to that point, you know, we have to be broken and we have to sit and we have to listen with our heart to the other person, and we just can't throw them off and we just can't kick them to the curb and we just can't dismiss what they say, but we have to sit down. Proverbs says that we need to hear what the other person is saying. And in order for this to happen, there has to be brokenness. But the problem is that a lot of times we get so focused on what we see and what we want and what we want to happen that we don't even listen. I mean, I do a lot of marriage counseling. And one of the things that I see in couples all the time is that one person will be talking and sharing what's on their heart, and the other person is doing one or two things. Either they're trying to interrupt, or they can't wait till they stop so that they can get their say. And so you know what that means? That means that they stop listening. That means they stop listening. Why? Because all that's in your mind and all that's on your heart is what I got to say. And you stop listening to what the other person is saying. And the only remedy for that is brokenness. It's for you to put your desires, your will, what you want, to put it aside and to sit and listen and hear what the other person is saying. Because if you don't, I mean, and I'm not saying hear with your ear. I'm saying hear with your heart. You got to listen with your heart to what the person is saying. And you got to feel what they're saying. And you got to walk in their shoes. And I'm not saying you disregard the way you feel. And I'm not saying you disregard what's on your heart. You're going to get your say. You're going to have your chance. But give the other person, you know, as a believer, as a believer in Christ, you know, We are to give that other person the chance to express themselves and see what's on their heart. A lot of times we just shut down. I know sometimes, even in marriage, when we have a conflict, we shut down. And Paul said, we've been crucified with Christ. That's brokenness. But we, you know, we're like the snake, right? What does that snake want to do? That snake wants to we want to rise up and we want to strike out. And sometimes God just says, chill out. I got this. I got it. If you will do it my way and you will work according to the scripture and you will work according to what I have laid out in your word, I got this. And if we would just be broken. Oh, I love the book, The Calvary Road. The first chapter in the book of The Calvary Road is all about brokenness. Brokenness. Because it realizes that most of the problems that we have, especially when we're in conflict, is an issue of brokenness and that we're not broken. We've been hurt. We've been wounded. And, you know, you got to pay. You know, you got to feel this hurt that's in me. You got to feel my wrath. And God says in Romans chapter 12, give place to the wrath. Not your wrath, his wrath. He'll take care of it. Reconciliation. You know, Paul and Peter had a problem, right? They got a problem. And Paul comes and he rebukes Peter to his face. Years later, look at 2 Timothy 3:15. 2 Timothy 3:15. Years later, Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:15. Look what Peter says. He says, accounting the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Look at this. Look at this. Watch this. Watch this. Oh, hallelujah. Watch this. Even as our beloved brother, who? This is the guy that got in your face. This is the guy that rebuked you. This is the guy that came and pointed his finger in your face and said, Peter, you're wrong. Peter said, even as our beloved brother, Paul. Beloved brother. Oh, there must have been some kind of reconciliation that went on between the two of them. They must have got this thing right somewhere along the line. Because, you know, I would have said, as that snake in the grass said, as that low-down dirty dog said, that's us, right? You know. You know, Paul, you know, that, you know, he think he's all that, as he said, right? You know, we'd have been smart, right? Yeah, as he said, right? Peter says, as our beloved brother, Paul. Wow. The power of reconciliation. There were two ladies that were on a train, and the one lady opened the window. And the other lady said, well, if you let that air come in, I'm going to freeze to death. And the other lady said, well, if I close it, I'm going to get hot and I'm going to suffocate to death. And so they started arguing. And the conductor came and tried to find out what the problem was. And they told him, and he didn't know what to do. And there was another lady. She was sitting there, and she said, well, open the window and let the one lady freeze to death. And then close it and let the other lady suffocate to death and then the conflict would be gone. What is it all about? It's all about us getting rid of the conflict. It's about getting rid of the conflict. Not allowing the conflict to stay there, but overcoming it and getting rid of the conflict. As I wind it down, in the next 5 minutes, because I told them I was going to be done before 12. So as I wind it down, in the next 5 minutes, the Homeland Security Department has developed a color-coded system to alert the public of the possibility of a terrorist attack, right? There's five levels. Each level is a different color. Well, like the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Pastor Glaze has developed, over his years of working with folks, has developed a color-coded system, not dealing with terrorism, but dealing with levels of conflict between individuals. There's code green. And what is code green? Code green basically says there's a problem that we got to solve, right? There's a problem here. And we have to solve the problem. The condition is low. The focus is on problem solving. And it's on attacking the problem and not the person. All right? Problem solving. This is very low. Very low. There's no water up here for Pastor Glaze. Very, very, very low problem. Very low problem. You know, let's not blame somebody for not bringing. Let's figure out how we can get the water up there. Let's work on the problem. Let's not work on. So it's very low. It's very low. And so what is the resolution here? The resolution is prayer. Go to the other person. List the possible solutions, and then agree on one. I mean, it's real simple at this level, right? It's real simple at this level. Even in your home, even between husband and wife, there's a problem here. How can we solve it? It's low, very low. Let's work it out. Let's deal with it while it's low before it gets out of hand. But see, the problem is that people don't deal with it at this level. And so what happens? It begins to bump up to the next level because then we move from a problem to solve. Now we have a dispute to be resolved, right? And I've got scriptures of examples of that. If we had time, we could get into it this morning. So what happens? This is code blue. It's bumped up another level. What's the condition? The condition is guarded, right? Now I got, you know, it's bumped up from, right, we can come and we can work on this problem. Watch this now. Watch this. Watch this shift. And watch how subtle it is. Now I got to begin. I'm still going to work on the problem, right? I'm going to work on the problem, but I'm going to start protecting myself. I'm going to cover my back. You know, we got another word that we use for that. I'm not going to say it from the pulpit of Bethany Baptist Church on July 15th, this Sunday morning, but we got to cover our back, right? And so we back up a little bit. We're still working on the problem, but we're watching. You know, we were protecting ourselves. We're covering ourselves. And we still want to work on the problem, but we're going to protect ourselves. Well, what's the resolution? Well, we got to go back and do all the things that we did that we missed doing the first time, right? Go back and do that. And then we got to bump it up another level because what's happened? It's gone up another level now. So we got to identify the root of the disagreement. We got to let both parties now. See, we didn't have to do this before. We didn't have to do this. If we just focused on the problem and worked on that, but now it's bumped up another level. So we got to let both parties express their viewpoint. We got to let people get things out. You know, that's one thing I hate about marriage counseling is that the first two sessions, people just got to come in and get out their stuff. You know, you can't get to, okay, how can I help you? But the first couple sessions, people come and they just got to get it out. So you got to sit there and you got to let them get it out. All right, you got to let them have their say, and then you can start to help them. All right. So you got to let them get it out. Then you got to talk about solutions, and then you got to agree on a solution. Okay. If you don't kill it at that point, now it bumps up to a code yellow. So it bumps up from a dispute to resolve, and now we got a conflict to absolve. Well, there's a conflict here now. See, you know, now this is in full-blown conflict stage. And the condition is elevated. And what is the focus? I got to win now. See, you see the shift? Watch the shift. A problem we both working on. I'm still working on the problem, but I'm protecting myself. And now I got to win. I got to win at whatever cost. So it's elevated to another level. And now we're trying to win rather than solve the problem. So now not only do we got to go back and do the steps under the code green and code blue, but now we got to add in some more things. Brokenness. All right. We talked about that. We got to exercise love. All right. I mean, you know, if all else fails, read 1 Corinthians 13. Ooh. Ooh. If all else fails, read 1 Corinthians 13 on love. And you know what? You can't get around anything there in 1 Corinthians 13. I wish I had time to get into it, but you get into it. You can make that your personal Bible study this week, 1 Corinthians 13. And then some folk, because they can't work it out, then they got to seek outside intervention. This is where you go to somebody else and say, we got a problem, we can't work out, and we need help working it out. All right, now what's happening? Because you didn't deal with it there, it bumps up now to cliques that need to be dissolved, right? So condition is high. What's the focus? The focus is now causing division. Well, how do we do that? Well, first of all, my strategy is twofold. And some of y'all need to say amen. I done prayed over this, and I done asked the Lord to show me this over 23 years here at Bethany Baptist Church. This is what I see. And somebody ought to say amen. Now, I say amen. All right. Piano gonna say amen. Walls gonna say amen. African flag say amen. Somebody say amen. All right. The first thing that happens, and I seen it, you do the Michael Jackson moonwalk, right? You withdraw from the situation. Back up. And then, not only do you withdraw, you know what so-and-so did? You know what they did to me? So now, not only did you withdraw, but now you're starting to get a little army on your side, right? Okay. I know I'm right. I know I'm right. I usually don't ask for amen, but I know I'm right. Amen, Pastor Glaze. Amen, Bill. So now, what's the focus now? You might not say that it is, but the focus really is division. Is that you got something against somebody else, and you want to enlist as many people on your side as you can so that you can have a little army of support against this other person. So now it's moved to cliques to dissolve. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about that, 17 and 19. So at this point, what's needed? Repentance, because you done wrong. Forgiveness, you got to forgive, and reconciliation. See, because you bumped it up another level. It's up another level. And then, let me finish now, so I don't get in trouble, and I don't have people conflicted with me. Code red is outright character assassination. And this condition is severe, and it's destructive, because now at this point, there's bitter feelings and ungodly actions. All right? What's the resolution? The same as in step four, in code orange. You got to go back. And see, notice that what I said. Now, I didn't say just skip over stuff. You got to go all the way back to what you missed in code green, right? You got to go all the way back to code green and start working through that process, all right? And once you work through that, then you move on to the resolution in code blue, the resolution in code yellow, the resolution in code orange, all right? You can't skip over it. And when you do this, God has said in his word that there's nothing wrong with conflict. Nothing wrong with conflict. It's mishandled conflict that becomes a problem. Put that picture, Santino, back up there of them Rams. Bumping heads with other saints. And I forgot to bring it out. I got a gorilla back in my office. And I meant to bring my gorilla out and have it out here while I preached. I forgot it this morning. I might bring it next week and set it out here. Apes, anxiety-provoking events.
Thank you for joining us today on And Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the start of a new series titled Looking for a Reason to Fight. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How to Receive Criticism, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Receive Criticism. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Receive Criticism. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, Bumping Heads with Other Saints. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored.